Blog Talk Radio.
I am tired as hell, but I promise you I'm black because I don't want to hear his mouth. I will do the show tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another tired edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host with the most, the King of King himself. And yes, I am sober right now. I am the hot rod. And on the phone line, I have the high energy, no kids. He have no work to go to tomorrow morning, so he's good for tonight.
Yeah, yes. Trying to start black in the building once again.
And on the other phone line, I have the president of the mommy movement. His t-shirt.
President of what?
What's up, y'all? You need a snack.
Good
boy. Like I said, I'm trying.
If you hear glass breaking, that's T-shirt cracking the hot rod over the head with a glass bottle and then pushing him under a rug and then rolling him out of the apartment.
And what's your point? And I have K-Dog online. I will get to K-Dog in a few minutes. But first, the number to call.
Wake up, my friend.
Right. It's going to be a sleepy edition. Oh, my gosh.
The number to call to piss me off, to wake me up, is 347-989-8402. The number once again is 347-989-8402. Tisha, K-Dog, are you guys ready to wake me up?
Yes, we're ready to wake you up. Shake your ass up. Come on.
Yeah. But on a serious note, Sean, Tisha, like I told Tisha last night, I was very upset when I heard the news about this. I almost cried, and I went on social media to blast it out. When I heard the big news of the breakup of Ariana Grande with her boyfriend, what's his name again? Hold on, let me look at my note. Pete Davidson. I was very upset about this news yesterday when they broke up. Why? Because I don't know why. I was at the news to Tisha. Well, it seemed like it was a big deal yesterday that they broke up. Sean, basically what I'm aiming at is, why do people today still care about celebrities' relationships, especially when it doesn't mean nothing in our point of view?
Because everybody, and this has been going on since the beginning of time, everybody likes to live vicariously through other people that are doing much better than them. If they feel that they're in the doldrums, their life is low, they're not doing what they want to do in life, or getting out of life what they think they should be getting, they look at the celebrity that they listen to or that they like to watch the sports athlete doing, et cetera, et cetera. And if they're doing well or if they're doing bad, they tend to live and kind of live and die off of what they do. And it's kind of like that Jerry Springer thing that we've all often heard about, especially like when we were all in college and they used to talk about this, the Jerry Springer effect, which would be just when you think your life is awful, you look at an episode of Jerry Springer and you realize just how much better your life is compared to the people on the show. It's kind of that same ideology, you know. It's like, oh, that's why, you know. Hey, you think my life is messed up? Look at what happened with them, you know.
Yeah, but with Ariana Grande and Peter's, like, okay, the on and off again relationship, we hear about these relationship couple breakups all the time. It's like, Kato, do you ever see rich people being happy with other rich people, or do you think?
Hell no. That let me tell you something about this whole breakup thing, and I'm gonna break it down.
Two
rich people happy together, because it's like 1 minute they're together, and plus, let's see. Okay, Ariana Grande and Pete Davidson were engaged like within a month of meeting each other, and then all of a sudden, boom, they're breaking up. That's no surprise, but you hardly hear of them being happy together. Come on, man. Let's keep it real.
Let me ask you a question. Was this the same? Were they together when that video broke about a year ago of them in the bakery, and I think Ariana Grande had put a finger in a donut and busted, something, or blew her nose in a donut,
no,
or something.
I think
what was the hell was that?
I think, was she with Mac Miller at the time?
I think so. That's what it might have been.
Yeah, Mac Miller. That was Mac Miller she was with. And
okay,
I heard that it's because of Mac Miller. That's why they the separation happened, because they said that she was devastated when she heard about his death.
Oh, okay. Whatever. Tisha, if you'd like to add on, and also, Tisha, we're excited to hear the news that Princess Meghan, whatever her name is, and Prince Harry are expected their first child together.
Yeah.
I mean, I was excited to hear that. What did we expect was going to happen?
Exactly.
I mean, look at Prince Harry. Who wouldn't want to knock that up?
Okay,
I mean,
now I'm awake. I'm awake now.
You know how she just knocked him down, just like a bowl of
chicken
strike.
She keeping it real.
You really think Prince Harry is attractive?
He's hot. He's a redhead hot. He's hot. I'm sorry.
Hold on.
Guy's axed, right?
I thought he was orange. But
I think there's only one person that's orange in here.
Yeah, one person
running
that's
the country
orange.
Right,
that's not. Oh, gosh.
Please let's not go there.
Turn me off.
Because
okay.
I'm going to the orange
oh
is sour. All
right, well, unfortunately, we have to talk about the orange guy.
Oh, damn it.
That's
it's
me.
Like, it's like. Bye bye, K Dog. Oh, man. As I stated before we did this show, I told Hot Rod when we came up with the topics for the show and going over what we were going to be doing for the show, I said, this is going to be a loaded show. This is going to be one of those shows.
Well, to be honest,
let's load it up, y'all.
I don't care about this topic. I'm just doing this for Sean Black, but he wants to vent out about this topic. Me, it doesn't bother me. But I don't care. But Kanye West met up with the orange guy last week in the office, and was like a paparazzi, a media circus of Kanye West ranting and waving about God knows what to Donald Trump while he's nodding his head like, yes, I got another one in the bank. I have my black person to represent the black people. But I will give this to Sean Black. Why this thing, did it bother you? And do you think Kanye West, as the title goes for the show, is the ultimate cooner, or he just really losing his mind?
I'll attack that question from two spots. I'll talk about the Kanye West part first. First off, it was heartbreaking, surprising to some degree, but then again, as we've come to see and expect from this, when we look at what has happened over the last, I guess the last year or so with Kanye West and his interaction with the president. This was supposed to be, I guess, a kind of like a meeting between just himself and maybe a couple of people from the press junket. It turned out into a giant circus. And for 10 minutes to see Kanye West, a man who has had lots of support from the African-American community, from Chicago where he's from, et cetera, go into this entire rant and go into the praise of Donald Trump, almost borderline minstrel type of praise. And as we've all stated before, the MAGA hat and what a lot of African Americans and minorities symbolize the hat meaning, and also the opinions that Kanye West has expressed, it really is looked at by a lot of African Americans as a slap in the face. Kanye West, who we all know, and he has admitted himself that he is bipolar and does not take his meds because he doesn't like the way he feels about them, went into a public meeting with the President of the United States, hugged him, looked at him as a father figure, and while this whole entire thing went down, President Trump said almost nothing and let this man rant and rave about everything. The sad part that happened about this is twofold. One, Kanye West basically gushed and gushed and gushed about the president because of, it seems to be a need and a love of the white power structure that goes on with prominent business people that seem to have lots of money and lots of power, and the people in those positions are predominantly white. And as evidenced by what he said and how he talked about the president, he admits that that's the case. It's sad, but that's not going to change. And as we've seen, people jumped all over Kanye West. That's the Kanye part of this. Now, the Trump part of this I'm going to attack. The part with Trump is that that same day, if we recall, was when we started to see the aftermath of what happened with Hurricane Michael and all of the devastating stuff that happened in Florida and the Florida Panhandle.
Mm-hmm.
That same time, that same day, you would have thought that the president probably would have gone down after it was safe enough for the president to go and survey the area to talk about the hurricane, talk about the damage, and soothe the people there. And the president did not. I believe he's supposed to be going down there sometime this week to check over and survey the area. And with, I believe, 19 or 20 people dead and billions of dollars in damage, the president's duty was supposed to actually go down there and talk and make sure that he could soothe the people that were there. And that is the twofold problem with this. The president can make all kinds of time for people that will praise him, for people that will kiss his ring, and for people that will make sure that he has his ego assuaged. But if you cannot say anything positive, et cetera, he could care less. And he's shown over the past what he really truly cares about. And that's part of this whole entire dynamic that is absolutely sickening.
Okay. Whatever. K-Dor?
Well, with that, it turned into a complete circus. It was just the buffoonery and the stupidity of it that was a waste of time. I mean, all he did was rant and rave. You know what? Kanye reminded me of the character from the Django movie. You remember Samuel Jackson's character?
Mm.
That's exactly who he reminded me of. Running up and hugging. Oh, yeah, let me give this man a hug. I'm like, are you serious, man? What the hell were you talking about? And some of the things that he was saying, you didn't even do research on history to understand what the hell you were saying. So what was the purpose of all of this? And, you know, cameras are there. I mean, it was a waste of time. It was completely useless.
And Tisha, I'm sure you have a lot to say about this.
I'm going to just say
I'm sorry, Tisha. Well, mm-hmm. Kino and Shaw, you have not answered the question that do you consider this as the ultimate cooner or does a kiss-ass job, Sean?
As I prefaced before, I stated that this looked like a minstrel show of the caricature of the black person portrayed as somebody that's white. But in this sense, it almost looked like this black person basically bent over backwards to entertain this powerful white person who has more money than him, has more power and influence than him. So in that sense, as I have heard him being called every derogatory name, like Uncle Tom, I've heard, like you said, a coon, I've heard all those words and names thrown about. Ultimate, I wouldn't say ultimate, because I'm pretty sure there might be other people that have acted in that sense. But in what we saw, that was what was on display, and that was the most heartbreaking part of this entire thing.
Okay. Now, back to you, K-Dog.
Well, like I stated before, he reminds me of Samuel Jackson's character in Django, the Uncle Tom house slave. That's how clean I'm going to keep it. The typical house slave who loves the master more than the master loves himself.
And now, Tisha.
First of all, Kanye West said he was misdiagnosed with being bipolar, right? He
mm-hmm.
said sleep deprivation was what it
yeah. was. Which I do believe that.
I believe that 1,000%. I've seen that happen many times.
Yeah.
That still does not justify the purpose for him acting as Uncle Tom. Can we say that on here?
Yes, we can.
I mean, you could be whatever you want to be. You could kiss Donald Trump's butt, whatever the case is. But it's just very, 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 very embarrassing to me, especially when he came on there and he didn't even know what he wanted to say to Trump. Trump was even taken back, like, wow. And
yeah.
I want to just say this to you black men out there. This is why kids need fathers in their lives, so they don't go to people
mm-hmm.
like Donald Trump. They mess their father. I don't find any of this funny with Kanye, really. I really
no,
don't.
I don't.
You know,
yeah.
it's really sad. It's embarrassing. He looks like he has a lot of pain that's there. I don't think Kim can help him with her bikini post himself. It's not.
Hey,
it's not. He,
me,
he needs. he needs. He needs a good black woman to support him. It's not happening. So I don't know what's gonna happen. His mom is not around anymore. I feel bad
exactly.
for him.
But didn't the hat was just like a superhero cape? And Michael wants to
oh,
know.
Oh yeah, it's the hat.
Michael texts me. He wants to know, wasn't Steve Harvey kiss Donald Trump butt at one time?
There was a.
Yes,
di-
he
I'm going to.
Yes.
I'll define that. There was a
yeah,
difference
yeah, please,
between what
okay,
Steve
please,
Harvey did and the difference between what Kanye West did.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Harvey basically entertained the idea of talking to the president. He didn't
right.
go out of his way to basically kiss his ring. He prays on him.
Well, bow down to him.
He exactly. He wanted to actually engage the president and kind of let him know where African Americans kind of stood, and since that this man was going to be president, what he could do to ingratiate himself with the African American community. And for that, the Steve Harvey was basically taken to the woodshed. This is different because this whole thing with Kanye West, Kanye was taken advantage of by the president to get regular, even more press away from the things that have been going on with Trump. We know about all
right.
the stuff that's been going on with Russia. We know all of the stuff
yeah.
that's been going on with how he has mishandled or not handled this hurricane thing. And all of the things that's been going on, all it was about, what it came down to, was it was all about Trump. And Kanye having this whole idea, because he was on I think he was on TMZ talking about the whole thing about him not taking his meds. He didn't like the way he felt on his meds. It keeps him away from his creative thinking, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
all of these things. But the things that he went out and prattled in front of, talking about the 13th Amendment, talking about how the president has to have the flyest stuff and has to have the greatest jet, that he has to do all of this stuff, it's like he went out of his way to heap praise on this president who has shown in his administration for the last, now, what, 2 years now, his goal and his priority is not communities or inner city youths or African Americans or minorities or things of that nature. Matter of fact, a lot of the policies and the people that he's hired has been very derisive to that degree. So for
yeah.
that to have happened and him come across talking to the president and gushing and gushing and gushing, he came across as somebody that basically laid down on the ground and let Trump walk all over him, and Trump didn't
yeah.
even have to say a word. And the only comment that he had to say after this whole thing was, well, I guess, well, you know, Kanye's one tough cookie. Those were the exact words.
Wasn't this perfect timing for distraction with the Supreme Court nominee and that whole stuff that was going on prior to this? And
yes,
then,
it was.
You know, you distracted it with this, and people really lost focus with that. So, I don't know.
Yeah, that was the whole distraction.
Hold on, I got to give it to Brother B now. He's been waiting for a long time. Excuse me, Brother B.
Brother B, what's up, my man? What's up?
Yo,
Brother
what's
B.
going on? What's going
greetings
on?
And
man.
Salutations, my
greeting
friend.
And salutations, brother.
How you doing? How's everyone?
Now, Brother B, a.k.a. the biggest cooner of the show, what do you think? What do you think about Kanye West?
I don't think about him.
How you cannot think about a musical genius who went in and did so much? He did so much for the black community. How can you say that?
Well, be honest with you, what has he done for Chicago? That's number one. I mean, he hasn't really said much about his hometown.
Did he open up a factory or something in Chicago, I believe?
He said something about moving back to Chicago at a concert that he did a couple of weeks ago or a month ago. He said he was going to move back to Chicago full time. but that's the last I've really
heard
him say.
He's not
going to
do that.
Oh, please.
I don't believe that. Come on. Yeah.
The Kardashians are not moving to Chicago.
No.
I think what's going on with this boy is that, and, you know, I really think that he needs to get help. Apparently, he had some unresolved issues. He has some daddy issues. He just has issues in general. I can't really say that I respect him anymore because part of me wants to blame that maybe, okay, his bipolarness or whatever he's going through. But at the same time, I believe that he is kind of conscious of the things that he is doing. And, you know, hey, if he wants to support Trump, that's his business, and that's his opinion and his right. But at the same time, we as black people don't have to really support him either because he doesn't represent us or the struggle. I mean, I find it interesting as being the same dude who at one point says Bush don't care about black folk. All of a sudden, you know, in comes the Manchurian candidate, and he's all, you know, oh, this man is fly, this man is this. To me, he just made every black man look bad. Every black person
basically
look bad. Every black woman, black child. He just made black people look bad by going in there and Sean Black said it in the beginning. It was a borderline menstrual. No, it was a menstrual. That's what it was. It was the 2018 version. But it was a menstrual, and he just made us look stupid in terms of his grammar, in terms of his delivery, the way he came across. There was nothing proper about what he did, and that's what I condemn him for the most. He just went up there and just made us look stupid. Because that's how they look at us. Everything that he said, the way he acted, his old demeanor, that's how they looked at us. He just upheld the stereotype. And that's why I really do not care. Like, whatever songs that were in my playlist with his name, I remove them. Because I can't stand someone like that. Like, you just
I agree.
No, but we all talk about his bipolarness and everything. Do you think it's more the bipolar or him married to the crazy Kardashians and they continue on the black man?
Listen, there's a thing going on.
I think they did something.
You know what it is? You know what it is, too? Now with this thing with Kim Kardashian, you know how many people are coming out? Like, and I'm not trying to, you know, degrade anybody with what I'm about to say, but there's a lot of guys coming out saying, yeah, I hit it. Your wife was a train. We all ran on her. Rappers are coming out with songs just dissing them left and right. And they've been saying that even when he married her, they're like, yeah, we hit it first. And for him, he's like, I'm married to the most beautiful woman in the world.
I mean, listen, to each his own.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's just finding love where he, I guess he feels, but I got to think about this. He has kids with this woman.
Yeah.
Three kids.
Now,
three kids.
So the fact that he's seeming mentally inept, you know, if she wanted to just say, oh, because, you know how they just doing all types of extra stuff to black folk nowadays.
Right.
So
all he has
to say is he's not fit, and then it's a wrap. He can't see his kids. You know, she starts collecting money, yada, yada, yada. Like, these are the things that I'm thinking about. Where he'll turn around and be this cast, you know, just cast away. And it'll be a tragic story for him. Where other people are trying to make him, you know, use him to make them look better. He's turning around and going to be looked at like this mentally ill failure that crashed and burned. And his life will be, you know, destroyed.
And Hot Rod, who would have thought if we fast-forwarded back to the first show that we did that between Kanye West and his wife Kim Kardashian, that Kim Kardashian would end up being the more stable of the two going in?
Like I said before, it's more of the curse of the something about the Kardashian did something to all these men. You know, he'll go down the list of men that messed him up. Bruce Jenner, I don't care what anybody say, that's number one right there. Odom,
Lamar
Kanye
Odom.
West. And the list of men.
Scott Disick was at least Scott was smart to get the hell out of it, but still.
You know. And he might go back with Black China again. I heard they're working on the relationship again. So basically, the men on that side are just completely screwed up. And unfortunately, Kanye was the genius that he was, have fell underneath the curse. And you know what? May God help him overall. If God could help him.
Can I just ask Brother B one question?
Go ahead, sir.
Brother B, did you think he looked like Superman with the hat on?
My goodness.
You know what? He looked like...
Say it.
I mean, how can I put this without offending...
No, please, man, please.
I don't think there's any way around it. However you say this, it's going to offend somebody. So however
exactly.
you say it, if that's how you feel,
please say it.
This is what the absolute truth is about. He looked like he belonged in the Special Olympics. He really did. He looked like he belonged in the Special Olympics. I think he made the people in the Special Olympics look bad with the way that he was looking.
I'm going to be. You know what I compared him to? You seen the movie Django, right? There's a character that Samuel Jackson played in there, where he played as the devoted house slave who loved his master and would run and hug up his master. That's who Kanye looked like when he was running up and giving Donald Trump a hug. I'm like, wow, man, are you serious, man?
What I find interesting is the people that are defending Kanye, and the thing is, coming to his defense. They're talking about like he's offering some way of freedom, like he's speaking on some type of platform.
I can't defend that.
Where he's not supporting any type of freedom of thought. Like, don't let that. Listen, really, what freedom of thought is he supporting? If that was the case, why is he in the White House and advocating for Donald Trump?
Yeah, you know,
it's
the
stupidity
of it.
Thought. If you're advocating for someone, then you're not talking about freedom of thought. Because he's advocating for this dude, and he's obviously trying to get people to sway, his way. And that's the thing that I'm not really feeling. Like, why are you encouraging people to go for somebody who called, you know, black countries shithole countries? He still doesn't give a damn about Flint, Michigan, Puerto Rico. He's been trying to protect this Kavanaugh cat, somebody who obviously is all about trying to dismantle, you know, make America great again with dismantling women's rights and rights and all other things for minorities. So,
and then even more so, if you look at what Trump said, he did a 60-minute interview that was aired yesterday, and he pretty much admitted that what happened with Dr. Ford and her accusations that are deemed as credible because she took the lie detector test and because that what she spoke of were true. She passed the test, and I think she took the test more than once over all these years. He basically stated it doesn't make a difference because, in his exact words, it doesn't matter, we won. So if that is the mentality of somebody that seemingly does not really give an iota about women, which is half of the population of this planet, if he doesn't care about women, and he has a wife, and he's got children with many other ex-wives, then what do you think he feels about African-Americans or any other minority that is, quote-unquote, viewed as beneath him, power-wise, structure-wise, maybe education-wise? We already know the litany of things that he has been either accused of or he has settled in court over that have something to do with minorities, whether it's his buildings, his properties, the letter with the Central Park Five, all of the other things that have happened, the discouraging things that he said when he was on the campaign trail and he was looking at one of his supporters, say, oh, look at my African American. That's my African American. These are the kinds of things that MAGA hat to a lot of African Americans represents. And the fact that who is viewed as a fellow African American who is a celebrity, has money and power, would actually basically drop to his knees and kiss the ring of the person that is, in essence, the leader of this MAGA tradition ideal.
I wouldn't
it being
call it
a site of betrayal
like
for a lot of African Americans.
But my question, but check this out. I got a question for all of you guys. Especially Miss Tisha, even though I know you're not a representative of that movement, but I have to ask, especially with Bill Cosby in jail and all of this stuff with Kavanaugh, where's the Me Too movement at? Where's the feminist at? Where are all of these women that were howling and crying and screaming about take this person down, take that person down, take, and Bill Cosby, 80 whatever years old in jail, nobody is kicking down Kavanaugh or Trump's door. Where's this movement? Where are they?
Just today, Alyssa Milano was on Channel 7 talking about that with the Me Too movement. But when it comes to me with certain things with politics, especially high profile, where is the Me Too movement?
You know, that's a good question.
There's like we just say many times on the show before, this is a mainstream media. The whole agenda of it in the beginning had its strong points. That once the media took over, or the white people took over,
right,
as we like to say,
well, they glamorized. You know what
meaning,
they did with the Me Too movement was glamorize it. That's the whole thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And once it became mainstream, the whole point of it got taken away. So the same thing with the Black Lives Matter and all the other movements,
it's all Hollywood,
which are called BS. It's all Hollywood-wise, and there's no point of it. I'm sorry. But let's be honest. These type of problems will continue on and on and on again. I think now people are addressing it differently or making noise of it compared to 30 years ago where we all kept quiet and thought it underneath the carpet. It was like Sean Stair do.
But you know what my problem is? Why is it okay? Why is it okay? Like, why? So, I mean, once again, I hate that, but I have to use them. Why is it okay that Bill Cosby is in jail, but yet Kavanaugh gets a pass? Weinstein gets, everybody else gets a pass. See, my thing is, we keep accepting.
Why? The color? Look at their color.
It's
yeah,
a white privilege, man.
You know what? I'm not looking at color. I'm not looking at color. You know what I'm looking at? Women. That's what I'm looking
women
at. I'm looking at the fact that women are they're being, basically, your rights are being spit on and played with by Trump and his cronies. And where are the women at that was so going hard on one end, but you're not going hard on this end? And I'm not just like saying like you in general, but it's like, listen, don't scream fire and you got matches in your hand.
I think it has more to do with color. I mean, I know you don't want to look at it as that,
but
it has somewhat to do with color.
I mean,
it's
I believe that, but at the same token, So with it being about color, then it's not about women. It, you know what I'm saying? Because see, that's the whole thing. If
I'm talking about
movement,
as far as,
yeah,
of all of this stuff that's going on and has been going on in the past, 12 months or 2 years about women, with all of these people coming out, you know, all these people losing their jobs, Matt Lauer, a few other people. So if it's been about that,
she's on here.
Why are we sitting back giving passes to people who really don't deserve it? And they're the biggest perpetrators of them all. Mr. Grab Them in the Crotch and Mr., you know, lying. And, you know,
and I'm talking about as far as their colors, not the women that are coming out and so forth. I didn't see who was, let's say, black or white, that was defending Bill Cosby, that was standing behind him.
What's going on in the background?
Yeah.
That's UK Dog or Brother B?
What?
I heard some music in the background. I'm sorry.
Because I've seen a lot of high-profile celebrity women coming out against Harvey Weinstein. I'm still not seeing anything happening with Harvey Weinstein. It has nothing to do with that. It's
fair.
The fact that Harvey Weinstein is white.
I have to give it to Sean.
To be fair, the case with Harvey Weinstein, all of the accusations that have piled up that have started to go into court only really happened recently, like within the last 6 months or so. Whereas the Cosby accusations and the deposition and all of that other stuff, all of that was in the process from years ago. Where we know about Weinstein and we know about some of the other cases, a lot of the accusations that seem to have gotten a lot of push and a lot of momentum forward to get to a court case, it's happening slowly, but it seems to be happening. Whereas the Cosby accusations and the Cosby case was already in the process and had already been on the docket. He already had a case that was already done that he had gotten an acquittal, but at the same time they did the retrial. So that stuff was already there. Now, to get to your point as far as why it doesn't seem like there's much noise going on as far as women go now, I think we got a lot of noise from women. It's not just
we seem to put this
Me Too movement as the end all be all voice of all women. And I think to some degree there is a danger in that, in this sense. If we're going to make the assumption, it's almost like calling the universal word for having a bandage, Band-Aid. Well, we know that there are other brands of bandages out there. Everybody assumes because, you got a cut, put on a Band-Aid instead of putting a bandage. It's kind of the same thing we're doing with the Me Too movement. If something happens in a sexual assault accusation or case of rape, the first thing people do is wonder what's happening with the Me Too movement. Why aren't they saying anything? And I don't think it's the fact that the Me Too movement isn't there, because as we saw when the confirmation hearings happened, how many victims of sexual assault and rape came out and made call after call after call and went on television, went to the newspapers, went to the internet, social media to talk about what they went through. 80-year-olds, 70-year-olds that had things happen to them 30, 40, 50 years ago. So we can't sit here and say that the women weren't there. What it is that the media has looked at this whole scope and has put everybody in a giant lump and saying because of this happening, it's all because of the Me Too movement. That may have been the progenitor for everything, but it's all because now women are being listened to. And once they are being listened to, we're getting things moving forward.
I think women are being fine.
Sorry.
I just want to say this. Hold on. I just want to say this one thing. Then I have to go to the next topic. Sean, as always, I don't know where you get your ideas from or where you get your thoughts from, but I feel like going through the phone right now just choke the hell out of you sometimes.
Oh, damn.
Because you need to understand. Yes, I understand what you're trying to say, Sean Black, but this movement is completely crap. All we're doing is time from time again is talk. Yes, there's more awareness.
No action.
There's more talk. But there's no action overall. So, once again, and there's no action. So, Sean Black, thank you for once again raising my blood pressure.
All right, but why everything has to be justified with the movement? They're protesting.
Exactly.
They're doing what
and
they need to do.
Everything goes back to the media. Let Tisha have the floor.
Tisha, go ahead.
The floor is yours.
No, I said what I needed to say.
It all comes down.
Good.
You don't dictate. I dictate.
You know, it's a joke. You know why it's a joke? Just the way the Wall Street people. The Wall
it's
Street people
been.
Come every once a year just to do their little anniversary thing. They come, they march, and then they go home.
That's
it.
It seems like that.
It's turning out to be somewhat of the same thing. They come, they march, they go home. And see, I take it personal because I have a goddamn daughter.
You know what's sad about this?
It starts at home.
Let me just say one more thing.
Go ahead,
let me just say this. It's a damn shame that women are not being heard, and it's a damn shame that you have the victims that are seen as the perpetrators, that people are quick to blame the victims instead of looking at the actual crime that has been happening to these women. It's a damn shame.
All right, so on to the next thing. The lady, there have been videos that are going viral online. We talked about this topic before about people, especially white people, calling cops on black people for nonsense reasons. The video that's now gone viral this last week alone was a man who was babysitting two kids in Texas. A white woman was stalking a black guy with the two kids because the black guy was babysitting two kids. So she followed him in the car all the way to his home and called the cops. And there was another video happened here in Brooklyn, New York, of a woman calling a cop, calling the police on a 9-year-old boy, claiming that the boy sexually assaulted her, basically touching her ass, which in the video that we also did not happen. Also, there was another video of a woman denying a black guy enter to the building that we live at in Missouri or St. Louis, I believe, today.
St. Louis.
And, of course, the video went viral, and the woman lost her job because of that. And another incident in New York to me, it is like an oxymoron. This was a gay couple who's also Latino, called the cops on an Uber driver that wishes black and cursed him out because, I don't know the whole story about this one, the Uber driver did not want to play his music. So
yeah,
the
he didn't want to play
gay
his music.
Latino slash Trump supporter called the cops on the black guy. So I will start this with Sean. Out of all the videos that went viral, which one caught your attention the most and kind of like pissed you off a little bit?
The one that pissed me off the most is of the 9-year-old. Because, first of all, we know that this person who called the cops, her head was down. So she has no idea what happened. And as in the surveillance video showed, the child was having his mother had his hand on his back. His head is turned in the opposite direction, and his hand is in front of him. And what grazed her was his book bag, not him. And the fact remains to me, how much of a life do you have that you actually, one, think a 9-year-old would assault you, and two, would call the cops on a 9-year-old? Straight on me. And what makes the craziest part about the whole thing is she's yelling while she's on the phone, and her exact quote, "The son grabbed my ass and she decided to yell at me." And then after she came back to the same store, looked at the surveillance video. The news was there, and she's like, "Well, I'm sorry, I don't know your name, little boy, but I'm sorry." And what tends to happen to these kinds of things happen, they get busted, they get run through the ringer, put on social media, put on blast, and then all of a sudden they want to feel sorry and want a mea culpa about how, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't do this." This 9-year-old boy is potentially scarred, potentially for life. We don't know what will happen afterwards because the kid was seen crying his eyes out. Other people that were there had to console the kid because the boy thought he was going to jail. A 9-year-old thought he was going to go to jail for something he didn't even do. So he already now has that on his psyche right now.
Go to jail or get shot. Because, you know,
exactly.
As a black person, you never know.
And that's scary for any black male, especially when you hear about all the things that are going on in the news. At 9 years old, he now has to think. Now, you know how you hear about, well, they still have their innocence. You can think about, you know, toys and playing and this kid now is probably going to be traumatized for the rest of his life thinking he's going to go to jail for something he didn't do.
Keisha, as a mother, what went through your mind right away when you saw this video?
Right away?
Yes.
So I could say it on air that I wanted to smack the person that made the phone call?
Yes, you can.
I mean, okay.
Yeah,
but
go ahead.
I don't know. These stories, I can't keep up with it. And when is it going to stop on the other end, though? Who's going to put a stop to these stories on the other end? Why is this constantly happening?
Yeah. I've said it before. I said before that this is going to reach a plateau where, God forbid, I think it's going to happen. It's something like this. Somebody's going to call the cops. person's not going to know what's happening, and the cop is going to kill somebody. And
exactly.
I said, this is. I pray that this doesn't happen, but I can almost see it happening.
Well,
it's only about that.
Sean Black, I agree with you on that. See, you did say something good for once. Thank you, Sean Black.
Oh, my goodness.
But you would notice more if you were sober more often.
No,
but I digress.
Nah. You know what? But you know what's horrible? I mean, damn, man, y'all making me laugh. But I'm trying to be serious, y'all. But you know what's bad about this? It's like that woman had no kind of sense or moral to do something like that to the kid. And you know what's even worse is that the police said that she never called. She pretended that she was calling the police on this little boy, traumatizing this little boy. You know, what the hell were you thinking? And you're going to come up with a sarcastic, and I'm going to be honest, I don't buy that apology. You're just mad because you got caught doing something stupid.
Wow, Kato, 2 for 2. Go on, guys, keep going.
You know what? Doesn't this sound like what happened with the female in San Francisco that called the cops on the girl that was selling lemonade?
Candy or lemonade.
Yeah.
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 Across the street from
exactly
the stadium.
That's sounds like.
But, go ahead, Brother B.
Listen. Somebody sends this dude a bag of shit or something off the roof on her head.
Wow. Okay.
You want to know something?
That
actually sounds like karma.
I'm just saying.
I don't know if I could agree to that.
I don't know.
Wow. I agree. Sure. I got it.
For you to do that to a child, like you're a lowlife, and there is no redemption for you. Because did you see, like, the little humping move that she did in the video? I mean, it's obvious that there was something more – she was more mentally unstable than stable to do all of that.
Yeah.
I just think that it's just a myth of Emmett Till. And I think that we just really need to start distancing ourselves away from those types of people. I think we need to just deal with them with the long spoon. And I think we need to probably, like, move people like that, like, out of our communities and out of our areas because they do more harm than good. I agree with Sean Black. It's only a matter of time before an overzealous cop shows up on the scene or overzealous anyone shows up on the scene and somebody gets hurt. And then somebody wants to get an apology is going to be okay.
Okay, one thing I'd like to add on before I go with another topic. The video that really pissed me off, I agree with everybody say about the mother and the white woman and the child, but some of you, the video of the Latino or the gay Latino Trump supporter with the Uber driver really pissed me off because...
He lost his job, too.
He got fired.
But I think when I saw that video... It's like, wait a minute. To me, it was like an oxymoron. You have someone who's gay, Latino, who's a minority in this country, calling the cops on another minority, on a black man who's earning a living, and you are a Trump supporter. Doesn't Trump supporters don't like gay people? To me, isn't that like an oxymoron overall?
He doesn't identify. Mm-hmm. Just like we have Negroes, we have Hispanics, you have Indian people, you have all types of people that don't identify with their backgrounds because
exactly.
They're in America. So the first thing
you have
say,
Kanye.
Exactly, you have Kanye.
So basically, this is a Kanye moment.
Yeah, he's
Uncle
not
Tom, Anyway, that's
wow.
Exactly why.
Wow. Okay, now, but going back to the woman. They call the child now, and I'm gonna bring this to a little bit of Brother B's show last night, the menu and his topic of gentrification. Who really benefit from gentrification? Now, apparently, in Brooklyn, New York, and New York in general, in some areas of Brooklyn was dominated black, and of course now more and more white people are moving in, and I know we talk about this many times of gentrification, and with that example of the mother of the woman calling a cop on a 9-year-old kid. Is a perfect example of gentrification. Now, starting with Tisha, with gentrification going on, especially in New York, who do you think benefit more from this? White people?
I'm going to have to say whites.
But why is it when white people move to a neighborhood, everything changes? Prices go up. Rent go up. Matter of fact, they're not even renting anymore. Condos start being developed. And is a gentrification a good thing to a certain level?
To a certain level. I can even tell you in certain blocks in Bed-Stuy, they're now doing like the green gardens and stuff like that. Now you want to take care of your blocks and plant and things. Why weren't you planting before when it was black? It's catered to the whites. I'm sorry to say it's catered to the whites. We have to make them comfortable in our neighborhoods.
And the funny thing
is, what it is,
people don't realize that a lot of those same ideals that get brought into the neighborhood after gentrification has happened were requested by those same African Americans and minority that lived in those neighborhoods but could never get the funding or could never get the bank to back those ideas or could never get that attention that they wanted. But now,
so Sean, why do you think that? Sean, excuse me. Why do you think is that? When the black people ask for something they can't get, when the white person come in, oh my God, money get thrown out of nowhere. Like, where does money come from for these type of projects?
Because back in those days when they requested those kinds of things, there was no trust, there was no money, and more importantly, there was no power. If any African Americans had some kind of organized power to go to, let's say, a board or go to the local alderman or congressman to try to get these kinds of things approved, something might have happened. But banks, especially with the predatory loans that were going on and all of the things that were happening in the 90s and the 80s, when they were basically like Ulysses S. Grant taking Richmond, would loot, pillage, and burn, take over a lot of places, and then what was left, that's when you started to see the influx of white people moving into predominantly minority neighborhoods. Then, as you stated before, you start to see condos, green grass parks. You started to see Starbucks, and you start to see credit card banks. You started to see in a lot of neighborhoods, supermarkets, things that regular, normal, everyday people that lived in these communities as minorities requested and needed, couldn't get.
But they were never,
20 years
they couldn't
ago.
Get it. They couldn't
second
get it 20 years ago.
That we saw the gentrification people moving in, that's the first thing that would happen.
Let me further say it even more. Like, I was talking to my brother who lives out in California, and he was telling me about South Central. Now, everybody knows that South Central LA is like the hood and all of that. But he says, guess what? Now, these days, in 2018, there are some parts of South Central, there are some parts in what you don't even recognize because they have Starbucks, they have banks, just like you just described, Sean. It's like they come in and they're taking over, they're buying up all the property, and they're building. And that's the sad part about it.
And this isn't just happening in the United States either. This is happening in lots of parts of Europe,
a lot
Greece,
of parts, yep.
Italy.
Exactly. Yeah. Anywhere that where we are, and they're moving in.
Brother B, I'm sure you have a lot to say, especially from last night.
Yeah, we had a lot to say last night, bro.
Listen, all I'm going to say is this. White people make it safe.
Thank
when
you.
The white people come in, now you know
thank
the police
you.
Are going to come.
Thank
white
you.
People make it safe. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let the white, listen, there are some black people like, yeah, let it, listen, for every 10 black people you have, all it takes is one white person to move in, and then the neighborhood starts to become safer because the police are going to come, that one white person, they're coming. Those police are coming, they're jumping off roofs, they're coming, dropping out the sky, they're coming.
I give you a perfect example with that.
They're patrolling, they're doing all of that. You throw a potato
chip
bag on the floor, you're going down, Jack.
And I know this is going to piss everybody off, but I believe in gentrification to a certain degree. You know, you need a mix of people. You do need some white people to make a neighborhood better because, like Sean, you say trust. Yes, they don't trust us because you look at certain parts, not all black people. But let's be honest. You look at a project. You look how most some black communities are. How we technically speaking, we're supposed to take care of our own community, but we don't. We're too busy focusing on other stuff. You gotta show off a Mercedes Benz or a BMW compared to investing money in our own community. We will buy $100-$150 pair of Jordans compared to buying school books and book bags for kids. You know, our priorities are messed up. Let's be honest.
So,
and,
well,
they know
right.
And they know
Brother
that.
Brother B and I were
yes.
talking about that. Brother B and I, oh, sorry to interrupt, but Brother B and I were talking about that, and I said this. It's because we are not educated economically. We are
That's
poorly
true.
Educated economically.
So when we have gentrification, I'm like, yes, I understand that, you know, we get kicked out of our own neighborhood. Let's be honest. Do we really want to live in an area of garbage on the streets? Or do you think white people see garbage? Yeah, that we don't clean up, that we make
that's
mess?
Why we need to take responsibilities for our own neighborhoods. But are we ready to do that?
There is nothing inherently wrong with people moving into a neighborhood that
right.
are not of the same denomination.
Mm-hmm.
Race, because that's how
right.
all neighborhoods happen. But the difference is all neighborhoods should do that. If you look at
all
history, the majority of the places that gentrification happens are not in rich areas, are not in out of the way, like Beverly Hills, et cetera, et cetera.
No.
They only happen in a lot of mostly minority areas that have a lower income output. I give you the perfect example. Remember
but
how
Sean,
we used to look at these houses?
Sean, hold on.
Yeah.
Sean, lower income, yes. But that does that mean we cannot have a clean neighborhood? Yes, lower incomes need help. But doesn't mean we cannot pick up our own garbage.
No, I agree with you with that 100%, but that argument is not for that. That's not the reason why that is the case. The reason why this is the case is because in those same neighborhoods, because of the fact that there aren't many programs and a lot of things that are happening, the people that are in those neighborhoods, just as you say, they just don't care anymore. They figure, if I need to get help for a mortgage or I need to get help to get this school taken care of, they're not heard. They'll go to the school board. They'll go this place. They'll go that place. And they won't get any programs involved. There are neighborhoods in New York that wanted to get movie theaters in it, and they've had land spaced out. They've had financial plans with financial backing from prominent African-Americans with money. Won't get approved. You remember when we used to hear people that have televisions and you would talk about the Nielsen ratings? They used to give Nielsen boxes to families so that they can get ratings for shows and how they would go in there. African-American families almost never got them. And you know what happened? Television did not have many African-American or Hispanic shows that people predominantly wanted to watch. And the example
exactly.
of the reasoning why that was the case, black people, they're going to destroy the boxes. I can't go into an African-American
right.
neighborhood because somebody will steal the equipment. And those are
okay.
the kinds of things dismissive of the reasoning why gentrification, in the sense that we see today, is much
okay.
more harmful in the long run than what we're used to seeing. Just somebody is moving into the neighborhood and making it
okay.
much more diverse.
Okay, so I got a minute left. I got two people that want to say something. 540, quickly, say what you need to say. They have to go to the other caller.
Beyonce had the greatest video of all time.
Who got the greatest video of all time?
Beyonce had the greatest video of all time. It's me, Kanye West.
Oh,
and,
oh, man.
Okay, and to our last caller, what do you need to say quickly? Our last caller, 111.
Yes, sir. How you doing, everyone? How is everything?
Everything.
Hey, how are you doing?
We have a minute left. Say what you need to say, sir.
Okay, you know, you said is Kanye West the ultimate ass-kisser of the,
yeah.
Ass-kisser of the Donald J. Trump?
Mm-hmm.
So, really, you said it all. I just have to be silent, I guess. You said it right, you know. I mean, he goes and puts that MAGA, MAGA on his head. Me? What the fuck is it? Shit.
We can end the show on that perfect note.
You know what? You gave it up. You gave
that
up
was
the
way to end it, man. I got to shake that dude's hand, man.
I'm done. Thank you all. Have a good night.
Oh, man.